So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Folks, this is Tommy Freedom, and you are listening to Freedom Rings. This week, we continue with the Off the Beaten Path series, dealing with the state of Michigan, as evidenced by that entry there from KISS, Detroit Rock City. Now, keep in mind that the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent, will be closing the show. Now, Michigan has an area of 58,527 square miles, so it is a very large state. Now, the capital is Lansing, and the largest city, of course, is Detroit. There are four major rivers in the state of Michigan. Those are the Escanaba, the Grand, the Kalamazoo, and the Saginaw. Elevation starts at 572 feet above sea level right at Lake Erie to 1,980 feet at Mount Curwood. Now, the origin of the name comes from the Chippewa word for Great Lake, Michigamma. So that's pretty accurate. And the nicknames are the Auto State, the Great Lake State, and the Wolverine State. Now, the official nickname for that is, of course, the Wolverine State, which is fairly interesting, folks, because wolverines are almost non-existent in the state of Michigan. And, in fact, the only place that most Michiganers ever see one is in the Detroit Zoo. So go figure. Now, of course, Henry Ford is from Michigan, and ironically, so is Gerald Ford, our former president of the United States. Don't know if there's any relation or not, but that's kind of interesting. Now, Dr. John Kellogg of Battle Creek created cornflakes to serve as a nutritious dish for sanitarium patients, which is very interesting. And he did, of course, create cornflakes, became known as a breakfast cereal. And Battle Creek currently is the world's leading producer of breakfast cereals. That would, of course, be Kellogg's. So there are some interesting things that go on in and around Michigan. The southwest Michigan town of Holland is the only place in the United States where Dutch-originated Delftware pottery is made. Did not know that. And northern Michigan is the site of the National Mushroom Hunting Championship, which occurs every May. And mushroom hunters take to the woods to search out for prized morel mushrooms that grow there in profusion. Now, the morel is the only wild mushroom that I can identify. Now, when it comes to mushrooms, there are some that have lookalikes, some are edible, some are deadly poisonous, but the morel is the only one that looks like it and has nothing else that looks like it that is inedible. So that's an easy one to identify, folks. All right, so let's get into the state of Michigan here. Where do you want to start, George? Dearborn? Okay, let's start in Dearborn, because that's down near the bottom of the state, and then we'll move up and we'll cross over the Mackinac Straits and get into the Upper Peninsula. So, okay, let's start in the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. Okay, so per George's suggestion, going to start out in Dearborn with the Henry Ford Museum and Greenfield Village. Now, this is a 14-acre area, and the museum chronicles the nation's shift from agriculture to industry, with exhibits of cars, trains, furniture, and machinery. Now, nearby is the adjacent Greenfield Village, which houses a collection of historic structures. Some are reconstructed, and included is the courthouse where Lincoln practiced law. Now, Lincoln must have practiced law, because if he had ever become a professional at it, he would have known that the Great Yankee Incursion was illegal. But anyway, in case you didn't know, Dearborn is south of Detroit. Now, everybody pretty much knows where Detroit, Michigan is, so I'm using that as a reference area to get going here. Dearborn is pretty much due south. It's right on Lake Erie. And folks, if you've never seen the Great Lakes, they are incredible. When you come up to the shore of the Great Lakes, you cannot see the other side. The horizon is water. So it looks just like the ocean, only a little bit calmer. But what's really weird is that there are trees growing right down to the water's edge, unlike you find on the ocean, and you'll find algae and stuff growing in some of the shallow coves, and it's just, it's really bizarre looking. It's almost like being on another world where the oceans are all fresh water. It's just really bizarre. So if you ever have the opportunity to visit the Great Lakes, I would strongly encourage you, because they do contain 1/5 of the world's fresh water. That's a lot of fresh water, folks. So, while I'm in the general vicinity of Detroit, there is nothing that I'm going to recommend seeing in Detroit. I was there several years ago, 2011 I was up there, and I had some extra time, so I drove around, and I was south and west of the city of Detroit, and I was driving around, and it was a woodsy area. The woods weren't terribly old. I mean, you could tell that they were maybe 20 years old or so. They weren't really big, but what was really bizarre and puzzling at first was the fact that there were these roads that just crisscrossed through all this woodland. And out in the middle of nowhere was a quickie mart, a convenience store, and a gas station. And then there's just all this whole grid pattern of roads through this new woodland. And it finally dawned on me. Those are areas that had been torn down and had been reclaimed by nature. It was all growing back up as woods. So you had blocks laid out that had once been suburbs that are now just growing wild. It was really, really bizarre. And another interesting thing to see was where the old motor plants were. I think I went by the Ford plant where it had been. And there's a concrete slab that's almost a mile long. That building was almost 1 mile long, folks. That's almost unfathomable when you try and think about that. And the reason the slab is still there is because, according to the EPA, that area is highly contaminated with who knows what, mercury and lead and God knows what else. But as long as you leave the slab intact, you don't have to dig it out and fix it. Isn't that great? So if they actually wanted to let everything go back natural, they would dig the slab out, they would dig all that stuff out, they would put it back the way it was, and everything would be nice and cleaned up. But no, leave the slab there, it's grandfathered in, no one has to do anything, and it will still be contaminated 1,000 years from now. Now, heading west out of Detroit, you're going to go through Pontiac, which looks just like it. It has the same type of abandonment and the same ghost town status as parts of Detroit. So it's a good place to go through and not stop. But you will eventually get to Kalamazoo. And in Kalamazoo is the Kalamazoo Nature Center. Aptly named, don't you think? Now, it's an imaginative and attractive site, and it includes an interpretive center, an arboretum and botanical gardens, farm, a period homestead, and nature trails. And it's a good place to take the kids, because there's a lot of learning here. Now, this place is really cool, folks. I want you to pay attention to this. The Sun and Rain Room is in the Interpretive Center. and it goes from the basement all the way up to the glass roof, and it recreates the environment that's needed by many exotic plants. And it took 600 tons of rock to build this thing, which serves as a thermal mass in a natural landscape. And a walkway spirals past the jungle that's in the basement, and there's displays of living snakes, fish, turtles, toads, crows, screech owls. It's really cool. And the growing place is a greenhouse that has orchids, cacti, an earthworm display, and suggestions for success with houseplants if you're into that sort of a thing. The Glen Vista Living Exhibit is a picture window on attractive woodland, and microphones bring in wild sounds into the building so you can hear nature and wildlife, which is really cool. It's remote sensors that bring all the stuff in. They give readings of temperatures at different levels of the woods that are in the surrounding areas. It's a really cool place. When you go outside, there's cages that have predatory birds and access to the beechwood and marsh trails that wind through the facility. And there's a lot of trees and woodlands in here with rhododendrons and junipers and native plants. And it's just a really cool place here. There's a petting zoo here. They call it the Family Farm. You can pet the horses, the cows, the pigs, the goats, and the sheep. If you do, though, be sure and wash your hands thoroughly afterward, folks. I just need to point that out. And just south of the center is the Delano Homestead. And this was built in 1858. And the main house and several outbuildings have been restored and have been furnished with period pieces. And there's hand-painted stencils on the walls and the floor, and it's really, really cool. So if you find yourself in the area of Kalamazoo, Michigan, be sure to drop in on the Kalamazoo Nature Center. It sounds really, really fascinating, folks. Now, I want to head up the west coast of the Lower Peninsula to get to a place called Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. But yeah, I was just thinking, folks, Michigan, I think, borders four of the five Great Lakes. It's got Lake Michigan to the left. It's got Lake Erie to the right. It's got Lake Huron on top. And then on top of the Upper Peninsula, it's got Lake Superior. So four of the five Great Lakes Michigan touches. That's pretty cool. Well, Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore is, well, it covers 71,000 acres. That's a, God, that's a big chunk of land. And, of course, the most famous part of it is the Sleeping Bear Dunes area, for which it's named. And there is a 7.5-mile drive. It's called the Pierce Stocking Scenic Drive. And it overlooks the South and North Manitou Islands. And it's just a wonderful complex of wooded bays and headlands all along the lakeshore. And the nice thing about this is that the drive is closed to all trailers and to motorhomes more than 24 feet long. So folks, if you've ever gone to like a national park and got stuck behind a motorhome or someone dragging a trailer and they're not doing more than 12 miles an hour, you know how infuriating that can be. Well, they're banned from this. There's also a 9-mile long hiking trail, and it crosses the dunes, and it's kind of easy to get lost in there, and there's no drinking water available, so if you do decide to go into the dunes area, make sure you have plenty of water with you, folks. Now, heading back across to the east coast of the Lower Peninsula, you're going to find the Old Lighthouse Museum at Presque Isle. Now, you've probably heard of Presque Isle, have no idea where it is, but it's a name that we're all familiar with, and there is a lighthouse there. And in 1840, a lighthouse was built. It looks like in 1838, $5,000 was appropriated from federal funds to build a lighthouse there. And it was lit in 1840, and for the next 30 years, it served as a beacon to mariners up and down the coast. In 1870, a taller lighthouse began service just about a mile north of there, and the old light was left to weather the storms, and it just kind of broke down. But then in the early 1900s, the property was passed into private hands and it was restored. Now today, the cottage that's nearby houses a museum and is crammed with what looks here like a bunch of junk, but kind of a cool place to visit. But the really cool thing about this, folks, I love interactive exhibits. And at the foot of the lighthouse is a bronze bell from Lansing City Hall's old clock tower. It weighs 3,425 pounds, which is more than half again as much as the Liberty Bell. And here's the cool thing, folks. You can ring it. You just pull the bell hammer and you can ring this bell. And that's just got to be so cool. I've never had the opportunity to ring a bell like that, but if you ever find yourself up in Presque Isle, Michigan, stop into the old lighthouse and museum. I think you'll like it. Well, it's time to take a break here, and that's going to do it for the Lower Peninsula. When I come back, I'm going to start in the Mackinac Straits and do the Upper Peninsula. Something really interesting I'm going to be talking about, folks, is the Paulding Light. It's one of those spooky, mysterious lights that just appears and floats around and vanishes. But the cool thing is it comes out every night. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Summertime in northern
Michigan. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. Get your truth at Radio New America with your host, Billy Roper, at KKKRadio.com.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com. And remember to always be prepared.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Join Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression Director Paul Fromm for Walking on the Fighting Side of Me. That's The Fighting Side of Me with Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression, Paul Fromm, only on KKKRadio.com.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Well, after Ted Nugent, I would say that the next most famous Michigander would be Tim Allen. And I almost bet you've never heard that version of the Home Improvement theme before. So that's a good bumper back in. Thank you for finding that, George. So Michigan is the only state that is divided in half. Now you have the Lower Peninsula and the Upper Peninsula, and they are separated by the Mackinac Strait. Now, I know a lot of you will have seen this on the map and thought it's pronounced Mackinac. That is how it's spelled, but the French pronunciation, somehow or another, is Mackinac, and the town above that is not Sault Ste. Marie, it is pronounced Sault Ste. Marie. So leave it to the crazy French. But anyway, when you're standing there at the edge of the Mackinac Strait and you're looking across at the other peninsula, there's no way to get there. If you were to try and do that via land, it would be way over 1,000 miles to drive around to get to the other side. So to solve this problem, early on, they had ferries that went back and forth, and this has been replaced with a bridge that's like 5.5-6 miles long. It's been a long time since I've crossed that bridge, but I do remember it was a long bridge. And it's so tall that when you're looking down at the water, the waves actually look like they're moving in slow motion. It is a huge bridge, and that is the Mackinac Bridge. One side of the bridge is Lake Michigan, and the other side is Lake Huron. That's actually where the lakes are officially divided. And also in that same general area is the famous Mackinac Island. If you are a fan of Somewhere in Time, the movie Somewhere in Time, this is where it took place, where it was filmed. And the thing about Mackinac Island is there are no motorized vehicles allowed on this island. It's bicycles, foot traffic, and horses only. So that makes it kind of interesting. If you're into a quiet place to go and vacation, then Mackinac Island may just be the spot for you. Now, also right at the edge of the Mackinac Straits on the Lower Peninsula is a reconstructed fort. I don't remember what it's called, but you can't miss it. It's right there. And it's an interesting place to visit because there's some historical significance there. Now, near the town of Munising in the Upper Peninsula, there are a couple of really interesting sights to see that are natural. Now, Munising Falls is probably the most picturesque of the 150 or so waterfalls that you'll find in the Upper Peninsula. But what's nice about this one, I'm looking at a picture of it here, and it looks like it might be 100 to 150 feet high, something like that. But this is one of those waterfalls that you can actually walk behind. And if you've never walked behind a waterfall, that is really cool. I've walked behind one in North Carolina, Bridalsville Falls. And it's just an incredible experience to be standing behind a curtain of water and to look through a waterfall. And also in the Munising area, just north of it, is Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore. And this gets its name from the eroded sandstone cliffs that just dot the landscape. And they're all kinds of colors. And this looks like something you would expect to find in the desert southwest, with the exposed sandstone being different colors and being eroded into all sorts of hoodoos. What makes it really interesting is that there are trees growing up out of it like you would not find out west. So it's a very, very scenic area. And I've got some info on it. Help me out, George. Where is it? Oh, yes. Let's see. The park is 40 spectacular miles long and no more than 3 miles wide. So it basically hugs the beach. Miner's Castle Overlook can be reached via Miner's Castle Road, and this gives some awesome views. And there's a picture here of an inlet that's just amazing. It's almost like a horseshoe, and the water is green, but you can see the bottom. And it's just a fantastic looking place. So there's lots of campgrounds there, a lot of smaller lakes and streams in the area. And the Lakeshore Trail that predominantly goes through this park has 13 backcountry campgrounds. Scuba divers are catered to along the shore by the Alger Underwater Preserve. So there's pretty much something there for everyone, and it's open year-round. The park is also open in the winter and great for snowshoeing. I don't see anything here about snowmobiles, but it's a great place to visit. Now, finally, I want to leave you with the town of Paulding. Now, this is located in the extreme western portion of the Upper Peninsula, and it contains a mysterious haunted light. Now, you've probably heard of these all around the country, folks. The most famous probably is Brown Mountain Lights in North Carolina, the Marfa Lights in Texas, the Spook Light somewhere in the Midwest, I want to say Missouri, but I'm not positive, and the Paulding Light. Now, the thing about these lights is that they are unpredictable. You never know when they're going to appear. It may be days, maybe weeks, maybe months in between sightings. The thing about the Paulding Light is that it comes on every night. You can go to an overlook and look out and see this light. And it is unexplained. People cannot explain this. It's just one of those spooky ghost lights. And the interesting thing is, a research group several years ago went out to where the light looks like it is. They went out there with four-wheelers, and they were there. They had all kinds of instrumentation, and they could not find anything. They could not see the light. But when they were in touch via two-way radio with the rest of the group from the watch area, the light was there right next to them. Very, very cool. When these lights are explained, it will be interesting to know what the explanation is for these freaky lights. But anyway, that's going to do it for Michigan, folks. And I'll be back next week. I'm not sure if I'm going to do anything on the elections or not. Let's have to see how they go. And other than that, what's after Michigan? I don't remember what's after Michigan. Missouri? I'm not sure. Anyway, be back with one of those two following week. So I'm going to leave off here as promised with Ted Nugent. It's been going here in the background for a little bit. This is Don't Tread on Me by the Damn Yankees with Ted Nugent on guitar. So until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.